When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
There's absolutely no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to than Chris Murphy. No chance
he's telling the
nobody,
truth.
Nobody. All right. Listen, thank you for joining me. Congratulations on all your success. Congratulations. By the way, one of the things that I was watching on TV, and it said 96. And I remember seeing you in spring training, like, with the picture I took of you throwing and said 94 in the background.
Yeah.
I'm like, look at how far you've come. it must seem like, does that seem like a long time ago? Like in
spring training does seem like a long time ago. Yeah. It was a long time in Fort Myers up until, I believe it was like, May?
Is it hard to, when you're going through that, obviously you have the long road back, but even then, a few months ago, is it hard to envision, like, hey, I just got to put my head down, do my stuff, and I'll end up landing on the mound at Fenway Park at Key. Is that hard to envision?
For me, since I had done it before, it wasn't as hard to envision. I'm sure for guys that were down there rehabbing with me that had never pitched in the big leagues, I feel like that's probably a way harder feeling or a bigger pill to swallow of, like, I don't... What's it like to pitch in AA? What's it like to pitch in AAA? Like, thankfully, I had known what it's like to pitch in the big leagues, and I knew that I could get back, and I had a taste of success, whether that was for a long time, no, but I had known what it took to get guys out in the big leagues, and it was kind of pushing to get back to that.
So when you were going through your rehab process, I would like you to tell a story about how you stood in your room and envisioned striking out Shohei Ohtani at a key moment in the game.
I don't know if it was envisioning him specifically or throwing him fastballs. I don't think that was probably on the table, but it just kind of happened.
All right, so let's go through this. So you said throwing him fastballs. That tells me that you have evolved, or that you're like, okay, you know, before you say, oh, I got to bob and weave my way through the best hitter on the planet, and here you are, you're pumping in fastballs.
I think it was more location of the fastballs.
Okay.
The ones that he missed, I executed perfectly, and I think that all comes down to it on, can I put it up in the zone where there's a little bit of a hole and inside and keep him from getting the bat head out in front, and that's kind of what I did, and just kind of all came together for that at bat. But I was talking to a reporter earlier, and I was saying, like, yeah, I mean, the next at bat's going to be harder because he's learned from me, I'm learning from him, and it's a chess game. And not to say that I can't strike him out like that every single time. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. So,
well, like I said, when the science would suggest that when you strike out Shohei Ohtani at a big moment, you get to come on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. but it's like, let's go through it a little bit if we can. Like, so, listen, I mean, we're human beings. This is when guys step in the batter's box, it's Shohei Ohtani. First of all, do you feel that? Or are you in the game?
I'm just in the game. At the same time, there's a little bit of it of like, okay, let's focus on where is there a hole? Or let's, something I do in the dugouts, like, what's the first pitch to each of the next three guys going to be? And I was like, hey, let's just go heater in off to Ohtani. So let's get a heater in off the plate, see what he does. And then from there, it was swing and miss strike one. And I was like, okay, that was a big swing. He's sitting spin. Let's go another fastball strike two. And then I tried to freeze him on a fastball down in the 0-2 count, missed down and in. Which is fine. That's the place to miss. You don't want to miss over the middle to him. You don't want to miss over the middle to most guys in baseball. So just kind of going pitch to pitch. And it was not like trying to be too fine. It's not necessarily trying to strike him out. More or less, like, let's keep him off balance.
What is So you're a student of the game, and you, like you said, like you're looking at these hitters, whether it's Ohtani or whoever, and you're looking for, okay, this is where we think we can get him, but this is also, if I miss here, this is where he's going to do the most damage. For him, what's the spot that you desperately want to stay away from? And I would imagine there's probably more spots with him.
So the pitch I was probably least inclined to throw to him was a curveball down.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gets the bat hit out in front, and lefties love that honey hole. I loved that honey hole as a hitter.
Yeah.
Right down and in.
Yeah,
so
me too.
That's the spot that I couldn't put it. And I was like, okay, let's stay away from that. Go sweeper off in there. Somewhere, I think that was the 1-2 pitch, was a sweeper off the plate away.
Mm-hmm.
Just to mix the eyes back up in. And it was a good at bat.
So you've had already a lot of good moments. But to come back to it, maybe, I'm sorry, like if it's hyperbole, whatever, but still, for you, like this, you are a good story. You should be congratulated on your comeback. But there is like moments, these tentpole moments, right?
Definitely. That was one of those, like, okay. I got plenty of texts last night, especially growing up in L.A. A bunch of my friends are Dodger fans, and it's one of those, like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
Struck out that guy. I didn't know you were that good kind of deal, but really don't think I've even the best hitter in the game strikes out in my, and that's me having to say that humbly as a baseball player. I give up homers, he strikes out.
Yeah,
that's just the game. So, but it is cool to get one there.
But I tell you what, there's relatives of plenty of baseball players who have said my granddad struck out Babe Ruth. You know how much cachet you just gave the Murphy family? like holy mackerel! Like, and listen, I think he's such a unique hitter. And you know, I know that you've probably who is another guy that you faced that you're like, oh,
facing Miggy in 23. That was a cool one. I wish I struck him out, legit.
Yeah,
I struck him out on a changeup off that he took. It was a ball.
Okay.
I wish I had gotten that one swing and miss or taken actually in the zone for strike three. But the Miggy at-bats were cool. Wish I had a Bregman one, but he's 3-for-3 off me.
He's 3-for-3?
I think it's 3-for-3. It's either 2-for-2 or 3-for-3.
I had him
0-2 or 1-2 in every at-bat.
How would you pitch Alex Bregman, teammate Alex Bregman?
I don't want to get rid of that one.
Well, whatever you say is not right.
I've talked to him about it. I know what to do.
Did he remember the at-bats?
Faintly. He remembers certain calls that umpires made, and he thought they were balls.
Okay.
He's like, this is the first time I've gone back and watched these because I had two hits.
Okay.
We watched them in spring training and just talked about what I should have done differently because I got ahead of him.
Yeah, so he told you this is what you should have done.
It just what he was thinking at the time.
Oh.
Like, whenever he sees me.
That must be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I like talking to hitters about specifically what I've done against them.
Yeah.
Hey, what would you do differently? Or what were you looking for? What's your approach in these counts? Stuff like that.
So, to go back to you faced Miggy a couple of years ago, and then you face Ohtani. But are you more like, listen, I've done this. Like, back then it probably was, oh, shit, Miggy.
It's cool. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, when you get to Ohtani, you're like, yeah, it's cool pitching Ohtani, but, like, I'm
a big leaguer, too,
I'm a big leaguer, right?
You're not going to have success if you don't put yourself in those shoes as well.
Mm.
I think that's, I'm a firm believer in that I need to feel like I belong on this playing field, and he's facing me just as much as I'm facing him. So it's just, not saying that he knows who I am, but again, it's one of those.
I need to act like we're said, like, holy crap, that guy is nasty stuff.
No way. No way.
I would have to get through like five waves of reporters to do that. Yeah.
Freddie Freeman probably faces.
Who is the guy that you faced so far that maybe this is a weird question? The most interesting at bat. Like, so here's an example. I'm going to give you an example. Godfather Joe Kelly, right? Because when he was really doing his like hesitation stuff, he's like, the toughest guy was Stephen Kwan, because it was basically he was mirroring what he was doing as a batter.
Okay.
Right? So, like, which I found like really interesting. And then I talked to Stephen Kwan about it. It's like, yeah, like, so that fascinates me.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I don't know if there's anyone that jumps to mind to go, this is a really, whether it's studying the guy or actually pitching against him, this is a really interesting guy, how he approaches it.
I grew up wanting to face Bryce Harper my whole life, and I think that was...
Ooh.
That was,
you, oh,
yeah,
you
that
did.
Was. I was at his major league debut at Dodger Stadium, and I was 14 or 13 years old.
Really?
At Dodger Stadium, yeah. It was Nationals versus Dodgers. Steven Strasburg was starting. Bryce Harper was hitting first or second, I think.
Yeah.
And first at-bat was a ground ball back to the pitcher. Second at-bat was a line drive off the center field wall where he threw his helmet off on his way to second base. I remember that game very vividly. And that was a guy that I grew up as a hitter at heart. Wanting to be a hitter, and
did you ever emulate Bryce Harper's batting stance?
Tried to.
Did you?
Not nearly as athletic as that.
No,
guy.
Well, you can do it in wiffle ball.
Yeah.
But you faced him?
Yeah. I faced him a couple times. I faced him my last outing before TJ, and then I faced him last week in Philly.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
strikeout.
Yeah. I mean, don't whisper it. I mean, honestly, this is like a big...
The game comes back. He's faced me twice.
Yeah. What was the both strikeouts?
Both strikeouts on curveballs.
Oh, look at you! But still, that is like, you know, a cool moment. We have Bryce Harper, like, he tips his hat to Aroldis Chapman. He's going to be tipping his hat to you. Like,
wouldn't go so far.
But that's a great example that you just admitted you idolize the guy. You've always wanted to face him, and yet even though you did face him before, every time you do face him, there is a little Chris.
There's a little version of me that wants to prove that I belong here.
Oh.
So I think it's not necessarily proving to get him out, but proving to myself that I belong in those situations. Bryce
Harper
is that guy. Yeah, the Shohei at bat was
definitely awesome.
One of those
See?
Things too.
Like, don't you feel that? Like,
it's a surreal moment. It'd be cooler if it was if we were leading in that.
That's the situation.
But I mean, hey, like, take what you can get.
But still, it's like, this is now, I would imagine, this might be hyperbole, but I think I've used hyperbole twice now, sorry. But there is little bits of confidence that you get from these moments.
100%.
That allow you to be better.
100%.
Yeah.
There's a fine line between confidence and cocky when you're pitching in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Just playing in the big leagues in general. You have to be confident in what you do, and to a point where you can't accept that this is also a game. It's back and forth. But when I go out, I expect to have success and work for that success.
When you first got up, were you that way, looking back at it?
Looking back, I mean, I can say this now. I didn't say it then, but as the kid in 2023 that had a 7.5 in AAA, for some reason, always in the back of my head, I knew that if I ever got a chance, I would pitch well. I don't know why that was always a thing, that blind confidence.
And you did, by the way.
Yeah. That blind confidence in myself that I don't care how I'm throwing the ball at the time, just when I get that opportunity, I have to take advantage of it, and I will. Call it whatever you want. But I think that's...
I'll call it important.
I still do that to this day. I know that when I'm going to get the ball in a big league game, it just matters a little bit.
Again, like the fact that you struck out Ohtani, you struck out Bryce Harper. Anyone else? Who else you struck out? I can look this up.
You should probably look it up.
Don't worry. I'll look it up.
I need that guy over there. I need him to just get out.
Who? Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman.
Three for three off me.
Oh, is he really?
Maybe 4 for 4. He owns me.
It's.
I need to figure that one
it
out.
It is. Like,
good hitter.
I mean, but your perspective of these guys is fascinating to me. Because I'm like, I look at it like, okay, yeah, I know he's a good hitter. But to your point, you're like, okay, there's subtle holes in everybody, right? So you try to find those.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I think probably the first time you faced Freddie Freeman, I missed that. Next time I'll get him. I missed that. You're always thinking, like, there's a hole there.
There's a hole. You just have to execute. Yeah.
Right. I'm just not finding it.
Yeah. And for sure that's...
But there's fewer holes in guys like Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani. So the last thing is, we talked a little bit about this on the side of this, about the evolution of you. And you said, like, oh, well, fastballs, what you were in 2023 when you faced Bryce Harper was different than what you are now.
I actually faced him very similarly, I think.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweepers and curveballs was what I threw to him then, and that's what I threw to
him. You're not helping my narrative. How have you evolved?
I think I evolved with knowing myself, having an identity on the mound, and knowing what I do to get guys out, what I feel comfortable doing, and don't go outside of that unless you have that confidence in that pitch in that moment. In 23, I was working on a changeup way too much in-game, and it kind of led to a changeup and sweepers in-game. Mm-hmm. Kind of led to more of an inflated ERA because I wasn't necessarily confident in those pitches, and now it's... 2025 is, hey, you have confidence in what you throw, you do what you're good at, you have an identity on the mound, and you just execute. You just go out there and compete.
We were talking a little bit about extension and compared to, what do you call it? What's the thing?
Vertical approach angle.
Yeah. Can you explain this to me?
Shorter guys.
I mean, not to me, to the audience.
No,
to the eye. Because I clearly know all about it. Yeah,
shorter players like myself, who I'm not really 6'1", like I list myself as. It doesn't even start with a 6, if we're being honest.
Wait, can you stop there? How does it, do you write that down?
Yeah.
They do? Oh, really? They don't even measure it?
Measure it in cleats.
Oh, I can't imagine what some weights are.
It'd be like, weights are usually right.
Oh, they are?
Up on a scale. Six, five, 5'11", 3/4.
I have a press conference from spring training that suggests that might even be right. But anyway, go ahead. Continue.
So shorter pitchers tend to, in regards to, I'm definitely the shortest guy in our bullpen.
Mm.
Do I have the lowest release? No, that probably belongs to Weissert or Bernardino. But as a shorter guy, I look like I'm throwing the ball uphill. So my vertical approach is closer to zero than everybody else's who throws downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bigger eye to hitters of, or it gives hitters a bit of a blind spot because they know that I'm throwing it downhill, but it looks like it's coming uphill.
Okay.
In terms of how I miss bats. So like my swings and misses are on my fastball are all going to be at the top of the zone. Very rarely am I going to get a swing and miss at the bottom because that just naturally looks a lot better to a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Stays true. I have more life up in the zone. That's when we were talking about Joe Ryan, I believe. Yeah. Where on paper you're like, okay, the fastball has a ton of swing and miss, but why?
Yeah.
The shape per se on the fastball isn't anything that pops out too, but his vertical approach angle is elite.
Is he the best vertical approach angle?
I believe he's, for a guy that is perceived to be more. Not like a sidearm guy, since he's like a 3/4 arm slot guy, high 3/4, whatever you would consider him. He's probably the best in baseball at that. And he knows how to pitch off of it.
Yeah.
So you see, a hitter will tell you that the fastball looks invisible when a guy like that is throwing.
Yeah.
I'm not quite there.
Yeah, but still.
But I still have some.
That's
some of that
like really,
to
like
it.
Honestly, that's really interesting because it's like we obsessed, as like we were talking about, we obsess over lanky, tall guys of extension because the idea is that, you know, it's less time to react.
Correct. You know? You have less time to react. It gets on you faster. It looks like, I mean, Whitlock was talking about pitching in Chicago and he's like, I felt like I was putting the ball in the catcher's glove. And it felt like I was putting the ball in the catcher's glove and I don't have good extension.
Yeah.
And you talk to someone with elite extension, it's like, yeah, I feel like that ball is literally in the glove. I think he averages like 7'3".
Yeah, he's like
7'4"
he's the
extension
king. Yeah,
he's there.
Yeah.
And I'm 6'4" extension, which isn't bad for someone my size.
Yeah.
Still way above my actual height. But
when was the first time someone mentioned that to you?
Vertical approach?
Yeah.
I learned about it in 2019.
Okay.
While before it really got picked up in baseball. I was trying to, my little nerdy self was trying to figure out, like, what are all these numbers on the TrackMan? And, like, what's vertical approach angle? And why does that change between my curveball and my fastball and all my pitches?
But also, it's a resume builder because, you know, a lot of probably people in baseball, like how you have, we've had this conversation for years. You got to be big, you know, like you got to be tall, you got to do this. And look at how many guys are like, there's only the outliers, like Sonny Gray or Stroman or whatever. But the way that you explain it, when you have tangible evidence of this, okay.
Yeah.
This is just as impactful.
Yes. I mean, there's outliers to everything in baseball. And I think that's an important key in the big leagues is you look at someone. Why do they have success versus this guy that has the same exact shapes?
Mm-hmm.
Someone that says 93, 95, just like Joe Ryan, has the same metrics, shapes on all the pitches, but that kid's in high A with an 8.5, and he's in the big leagues with a sub-2.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, well, what's the difference? Well, let's break down those numbers. Like, okay, well, he looks like he's throwing the ball uphill. Hitters just don't hit his fastball.
Mm.
And when they do get on the fastball, he's got two other pitches that he gets swings and misses with. So
So I like you're educated. You educated, you entertained, and you informed. By the way, last thing, will you get a baseballs and boring tattoo if you win the World Series?
Sure.
Oh,
I'll get
look
it.
Look at
I'll
you. You already have one, right?
I'll get it next to another one that I have.
Oh, what's that?
We'll talk about that one another
day.
Oh,
but you already have the tattoo where, like, we commiserate, like, how painful the armpit is in tattoo.
I'm not getting an armpit tattoo.
No. I'm not saying armpit. But you have one on the inside of your bicep.
I do, yes.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
those ones hurt. I also have one going all the way down the shin. That one doesn't. That one didn't feel too good.
All right, well, dealer's choice, whatever you want. All right, thank you. Appreciate it.